And take two for Welcome to Roscoe's House of Chips, where your father smells of feces upon which your mother lays her eggs.
Yeah, we don't have to be so watchful of our mouths this week.
Yes, we're very very PC here.
Yes.
I don't like to say shucks. That's a little excessive for me.
I like to say shark.
I fucking hate that word. You like to say shark?
You're
the kind of person who watches Sharknado and jerks off, aren't you?
I've never seen Sharknado.
Dude, there's Sharknado 2. Even.
I know.
I want to see Tara Reid. Sharknado is fucking horrible. It's the worst movie. And next to Spear Piercer or Snow Piercer, it is
Oh, fuck you. Snow Piercer is not that bad.
Fucking Snow Piercer is bad.
Snow Piercer is not bad.
I don't know what the fuck you were smoking. I don't know what the fuck you were smoking when you said you like Snow Piercer.
I like Snow Piercer. I'll still say it right now. I like Snow Piercer.
That's a fucking stupid movie.
Well, anyways, we're getting way off topic.
Just because we're bashing you, now you want to change the subject?
Yes. So
that's what it is. He wants to deflect a Bigfoot because fucking we're making fun of him.
Don't make fun of him.
We can talk about how you like rape all day long, and he'll fucking stick with it. But all right, we start making fun of Cody, man. We have to go.
Yeah. So shut the fuck up.
To those newcomers. Dave does not like rape, we're going to leave it at that.
Dave is a fan of rape. He just won't admit to it.
No.
He needs to go to Rapist Anonymous, RA.
I'm going to kick you in the balls.
That's why you keep saying you're going to RA classes.
RA? When did I say that?
Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Hopefully some of our listeners will get that joke. So, we have today Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Oh, we're doing fantastic. Well. So,
great.
As Wade had mentioned, we're going to be talking about Bigfoot this week. And it's kind of sticking with our theme of last week and kind of delving into the paranormal world. And I'm under the understanding that you've had some experiences with Bigfoot.
Well, you are correct. I do have some experiences with Bigfoot. Now, we're not talking visual, eye-to-eye, actual Bigfoot encounters.
Okay.
Which be, I guess if you were listening to the BFR, it would be a Class 1. But I've had some Class 2 category sort of encounters with Bigfoot. Let's put it that way.
Wait, explain the class system for us real quick. I'm not sure what that is.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to get this perfect or not, but I want to say your Class 1 is an actual visual sighting of a Sasquatch itself. Your Class 2 is going to be hearing your screams, your knocks, and your footprints. And a Class C, 3 or C is going to be basically hearing stories of Bigfoot from other people. Let's put it that way.
Okay, so this
gotcha, is a makes sense.
Class 3 type encounter.
Mine are all Class 2.
No, but I mean, what we're doing now, Class 3.
Exactly.
Okay,
nice.
Well, good. Because I've never gone past a Class 3, honestly.
That would be the same here.
Really?
Well,
yeah.
A Class 2. But.
Hopefully I'll enlighten you guys a little bit then.
Well, because here's why I'm excited to talk to you, Mark. And I wish we should explain here. Take a step back and explain that Mark also works with Wade and I, and I never knew this about Mark. I actually did tell a story about you last week, Mark, on how you had that experience on the north end of the pad.
That was trippy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very trippy. But we could maybe get into that a little bit later. But I didn't realize that you've had these experiences, so I was really excited to find out that you believe in this stuff and you've had the experiences, and I really am excited to hear what you have to say and your stories.
Excellent. No, and I appreciate you guys for having me on for it. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. So give us one. Let's listen.
All right. Well, I guess basically, where do I even want to start? Do I want to start at my younger ages with it or the most recent?
Let's start at the beginning. The beginning is captivating.
That's always the fun, because you seem to always be a little bit more skeptical at the beginning, and then it gets to be kind of more experiences, the better you believe, not better.
I agree. So basically, just so everybody knows, I grew up in a little town outside of Detroit, Michigan, called Frankenmuth. And this is when I was 15 years of age. And my buddy Scott Adler and I were in the back of my parents' woods, which was basically 100 acres. And it was a fallish evening, basically, during fall time. And we were back in the back of the woods doing what all teenagers do, just screwing around, you know, climbing on trees and, you know, kind of chasing people, you know, chasing each other around and whatnot.
Just having fun.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just doing like teenage boy shit. And my dog, Rocky, was with us, a Springer Spaniel. And we got to be around 9 o'clock at night. It was pretty dark out, getting to be pretty dark out by then. And we heard a tree break, basically, that was louder than anything a deer would have been making or any small animal had been making at the time. And just to note it here, the bears, the black bear in Michigan, we're up a little bit higher. Where we're at, there's no bear, basically. So okay. We heard this snap, a really big tree, a dead tree, basically, snap and break. And it was probably 100 yards away from us at the time. And we're kind of like, oh, what the heck was that? That was kind of loud, and kind of stopped, and we were doing and listening. And next thing you know, you would hear another one break, and another one, and it was starting to come toward us at a very fast speed, let's put it that way. And you're just hearing it just snap, crash, and coming at us, like I say, at a very fast speed. At that point in time, Scott and I looked at each other, and we were like, we are getting the hell out of here. And we started running back towards my parents' house, and the dog, who was usually not afraid of anything, his tail was behind his, I mean, his tail was in his ass. He was in front of us going as fast as he could, almost kayaking. And this thing was behind us, you know, 100 acres in the woods back at my parents' place. We're talking probably a good quarter to half a mile. And it was behind us the entire time, grunting like an ape, and breaking sticks behind us the whole time. And you could tell it was faster than we were, but it wasn't trying to catch us. It was more like just driving us out of the area more than anything else. And by the time we got up to the house, as soon as we broke to where my parents' pond was and the lights of the house were in sight, it completely stopped and never heard the thing again. So it kind of just freaked us out, let's put it that way. So that was the very first kind of squatchy encounter that I had.
Holy shit.
And I do apologize, I missed that. Where was this at?
This is in Michigan.
Michigan, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we didn't have, you know, all the stories of the internet with, you know, squatch encounters and everything back in the early 80s when I was that age, you know. But at that time when this happened to us also, about 2 months before that, there was a story in the Cass River Herald that was talking about a farmer that had a bunch of pigs completely disemboweled and turned inside out, basically, and that was like 5 miles from where we were at.
Oh, wow.
So it was one of those things where it was weird that that even made the paper, because just you mentioned the word Bigfoot back in the early 80s like that. You know, everybody could call you a weirdo and a nut. So when that happened to us, you know, it was kind of like, what in the hell was that? You know, and then we kind of put it together with the paper, like, do you think it was this? You know, possibly could it be? And we're like trying to narrow it down. We were talking to each other about it. And we're like, I don't really want to tell anybody about this. And he didn't want to really tell anybody about it. But we're sitting there, you know, afterwards just talking like, all right, well, that obviously wasn't a deer chasing us through the woods.
No.
There's no elk in the area. A coyote isn't going to make, you know, isn't going to crash the trees, make the trees, you know, do what they were. And why was it grunting like an ape behind us?
Yeah.
So, kind of creepy.
Wow. And yeah. I think it's great that it happened in a different area. I mean, you know, to some of our listeners that may not know, but we live in Washington, so Sasquatch is really prevalent
saying?
Up here. Yeah, I know you live in Washington, you know what I'm saying? But Sasquatch is really prevalent up here, and to hear a story come out of the Midwest. I mean, I've heard of people talk about, like, there's like a, they call him the Grass Man or something over there. That's what the Native Americans used to call him. And And they've actually said that they've found nests in Michigan and Ohio and stuff that are made of grass. Like, that's why they call them the grassmen. They're these really elaborate nests that are almost like a cave that they pile it around. That's how they, and they found tons of those. And the Native Americans used to talk about them.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah. I watched a recent one of hundreds of documentaries, but they highlighted across the country where these Bigfoot sightings have been, and it was all over the damn country. I was surprised by that. I mean, that most of them, of course, were Pacific Northwest, but, I mean, they were as far down as Texas and Alabama. I was really surprised at that. That's awesome.
Everybody say hi to Wade's kids.
Wade's kid, hi.
Are they being attacked by Bigfoot?
Yeah, she's my teenage daughter and just likes to yell.
Yeah, they tend to do that.
Well, we've all been there.
Kind of like Mark's, Mark's Bigfoot. No, that really is crazy, and I agree with Wade. Like, it's awesome to hear a story that really is that prevalent. I mean, you hear these things, and most of the time it's like you said, they heard something growling, and you can always look at it skeptically and be like, okay, well, maybe that was an elk or somebody else even, like, fucking around with the dude. Or
right.
They find these footprints that there are many known footprint impersonators, I guess you could call them, out there.
Yep.
Just making them for fun to fuck with people. But something that you know was chasing you, and you had your buddy there to corroborate the story, that would get me believing.
One of the points that kind of ruins the Bigfoot thing, because there are so many people out there that fake this shit and fuck with it. So the people that have real experiences, it's hard for a lot of people to believe them for that very reason. Just because so many people make this shit up.
Well, I actually want to tell a story that I've never really told anybody but my wife, because I didn't want to be looked at like a freak. But
dude, that
whatever,
ship is sailed.
I'm already a freak in this podcast. I've made myself look pretty stupid on the podcast anyway. So,
just hold nothing back, Wade. Anyway, hold nothing back.
Right. I used to drive truck a lot in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to haul a lot of redwood out of a town called Eureka in Arcata area. And I used to go through a
They made
called,
a TV show called Eureka, where a bunch of weird stuff happened.
Right. Well, you ought to go to Eureka, California, you understand. Well, let's just put it this way. It's like 50 miles south from where somebody else we work with was born.
Got it.
I know who you're talking about.
RK. RK. Anyway. Anyways, I used to drive through this place called Willow Creek, and about 5 miles from Willow Creek is actually where that real famous video was taken.
Robert Patterson video.
Yes.
It's
about 5 miles from there. There, the whole town is like all about Bigfoot and whatever. And it was when I first started really driving truck there. I pulled off the side of the road in this. It was almost like a wide spot area and stuff. And I crawled back into the sleeper, and I was going to sleep, and I heard what sounded like two branches being knocked together out into the trees. Like, it was like
wood knocking.
Like when you take like two sticks and you pap them together, and I'd go to sleep. I'd start to go to sleep, and then I'd hear it. But then what was really, really, really fucked up, okay, and this is about 2 or 3 in the morning, I heard what sounded like a woman screaming out into the trees. Now, I don't know what this was, but it's like a cross between a woman screaming, and you can tell that it's almost human in the way that it makes, but it's got this eerie,
almost
weird,
sounds like she's getting raped.
It really does. Does this not excite me?
Don't worry, Dave. I won't.
The what?
Continue with your story.
You said rape, and Dave just started shaking his head like, you motherfucker.
I'm not into it, you assholes.
I'm sorry, what did you say? What Wade?
Has any of you guys ever heard of Mountain Lion Scream?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think
I
have, no.
I haven't heard of that. Explain.
Okay, so you take like kind of like, you take a kind of a mountain lion scream, but make it a little more human.
And that's
what I was hearing off into the trees. And then I kept hearing these twigs whacking together. And I told my wife about it. I was like, that was just a weird experience. Maybe it was a cat or maybe it was whatever. And then she's real into this kind of stuff. And we looked it up on YouTube, Bigfoot sounds. And, I shit you not, when I heard somebody that actually recorded what they said was a Bigfoot noise, it sent chills down my spine because that's what it sounded like, real close
to
it.
You heard tree knocks.
What's tree knocks?
That's how squatches communicate.
Yeah.
It's one of the forms of how a squatch communicates.
They have
kind of like gorillas. Gorillas will pound sticks together in order to prove their alphaness.
Exactly. I think squatches use it more as a locator for other squatches to see where their location is.
It's kind of like their sonar.
And pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was saying that's. I don't know if we want to lead into it, but that's one of the other experiences I just had just this last year on the Van Zandt Dyke here in Washington.
Oh yeah, tell us about it.
And that was. I was up there, and it was the first week of bear hunting, which would be August, well, first through the 7th, basically, but bear hunting up on the Van Zandt Dyke. And I got up there right at sunlight, and you got to understand, on the dyke, there's only one way in, there's one way out, and there wasn't anybody else up there. I would have known if there's anybody else up there, because the way this trail system works, you would know. So I was pretty much the only person up there that I know of up there on that morning, but when I got up to my spot where I was going to be bear hunting at, I had to walk about a mile into this area where I was at, which opens up into a kind of a big area of a field with a little nub on one side of it. And as soon as I got up onto this nub area where it was going to be my overlook, and I sat down, I heard what you're talking about, Wade, one of the tree knocks, and it was directly above me where I really couldn't see it, but it could look down on me and see me. Two really hard, wham, wham, tree knocks. Now, I'm like, oh, okay, that was kind of creepy. But what gets creepier is 30 seconds later, 150 yards down this clear cut, all of a sudden you hear, whack, one really loud tree knock again. And then 30 seconds later, in the exact opposite direction where the first one was, so basically you've got to figure it's going to be 300 yards from where the second one was. Another whack, whack, super loud, followed by a single one right back in the middle again. So that's telling me there were three squatches around me telling me that they were in there. They weren't happy that I was in there, and I got the hell out of there.
Wow. So I wonder if that's exactly it. Like they use that to let you know as well as communicate is to any other Sasquatch around, hey, there's somebody in our where we're at right now, because they've got to be migratory. There's no reason that we've seen them, but we haven't been able to find any hard evidence, aka bones, or they've found suspected hair, they've found suspected DNA, they've found
correct.
They haven't found any scat, as far as I know, but you may be able to correct us on that.
From what I've seen, the scat that they've collected has always, after they do their tests, has always proven to be something else.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just from what I've seen.
You're
so.
Probably right. Yeah.
But the wood is false.
Yeah, did the bear see in the wood?
Well, bear does, but you could also say this. They could be at the same level of burying their scat.
That's very
like
true.
Human would be.
Because all it's going to do is go into the ground and eventually grow shit, and you're not going to notice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're talking Pacific Northwest. If I've seen the body of a coyote decay in less than 2 weeks in some of the right areas around these mountains. So you're not going to have much time to actually find something and get it out of there.
Well, and the amount of rain's going to wash it away within a day or two.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're up in the mountains.
Yep, exactly. No doubt about it.
And see, that's one of the things that that I always have a hard time with. Like, I really want to believe in Bigfoot. I really do, and that's why I love having this topic today. But I'm also one of those people, I need proof. And everything I see, everything is grainy. Every video you see, everything is slightly different. However, I also have not seen proof that there is no Bigfoot. See what I'm saying? Because I've been camping with my friends out in the hills, and we've heard things that really aren't explainable. We know there's no bear in the area. There might be cougars, but cougars wouldn't make those kind of noises. You know, I've heard the branches, the trees banging together, things like that too. But yeah,
yeah. I can't tell you more than anything else. I want. You know, I in my heart, I know they're out there, and I totally believe in them. But I want to have that visual confirmation, if that makes any sense.
Exactly.
It just makes you feel like, all right, I'm not crazy.
Right, and that's one of the things as a amateur scientist, I guess, I need that proof. You know, there's people that like to say, like, I'm a big astronomy geek too, and there's still the people that fight and argue that we never went to the moon. But with the right telescope, you can look
those
at the moon and
idiots.
See the goddamn flag. So don't tell me that we didn't do it.
Yeah.
And the same thing, that's what irritates me about Bigfoot, is I do believe he's probably out there. But why the hell have we not seen definitive proof?
Yeah.
And just watching that Patterson video today, they had this actor on there that was trying to mimic the movements. And they're saying, see how it's not even close? But I'm like, I have seen so many old people that walk just like that. And the way that thing was walking was too human-like. However, there's no proof to say it wasn't.
You're forgetting the part in that documentary where they lined up the hips.
Right,
but wouldn't line up with the shoulders.
There again,
and the shoulders wouldn't line up with the hips.
There again, though,
yeah,
playing devil's advocate. Not every human is average. There are people that are going to be taller. They're going to have longer backs. They're going to have shorter legs. And
true.
If two people wanted to make something that was believable, they're probably going to go find someone who is not average to do that. They were people that were already involved in Hollywood. They could have done the suit. I mean, I want it to be real.
Yes.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm. And we're having a friendly debate here.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, have you guys ever heard of he's a scientist, but he's kind of on the outer realms. He's dead now, but his name is Lloyd Pye.
Mm-mm.
No.
The only scientist that I know that's really involved with Bigfoot and Sasquatch is Dr. Jeff Meldrum.
I've heard Meldrum.
He's got the largest collection of Bigfoot prints that anybody has.
Okay. Lloyd Pye, though, tomorrow at work, I'll have to show you on the internet. He has a documentary out that's about 2 hours long, and it basically ties, it deals a lot with the astronomy and UFOs and delves into Bigfoot, and the way that he ties everything in together kind of just blows your mind.
Oh, that I'd like to see.
Wait a second, is he the guy that found the skulls in Mexico?
Shut up, Wade.
Yes, he is.
Just fucking with you, dude.
Why are you laughing at me, Wade?
I'm not. That wasn't me laughing at you. I'm just...
No, I was laughing at the Shut Up Wade thing.
That was from last week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Totally from last week.
Like I said, this is a very non-judgmental podcast,
yeah.
and we're not going to laugh at you. Actually, I'm very intrigued.
Could
say Davis as well.
Yeah.
About what you're saying here. So, that's...
Right.
Yeah, I would love to see that, too, because I love...
Yeah.
The whole paranormal stuff. I really do. Like, I was very happy with our last week's episode and be able to talk to Wade's mom. So shut up, Wade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just kidding. We love you. To a point.
No, that's the whole thing. Like I said, we have become too much of a just generic society. We don't want to believe in the stuff that's not normal every day that you see.
That's why
it's fun to talk about.
That's why it's all labeled paranormal. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why, you know, like I was saying last week, the problem I have with a lot of this stuff is the people that you see being interviewed, you know, are fucking lunatics that are just trying to get attention. Just, and that's what sucks.
Well, everybody
but at
wants
the same
to have
time,
their fame and fortune.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They want their 15 seconds.
That's why I want to see someone hardcore, your Bill Nyes, your Neil deGrasse Tysons. I want to see them prove this stuff. But I think it would jeopardize their career if they got into it.
And that's
which
the
is
thing.
Why I think you see, you know, Johnny Nobody on TV. But
no, you don't see Johnny Nobody because you go back to Dr. Jeff Meldrum. Okay, he's a nobody. He's not a nobody.
But outside his thing on here, have you ever heard of the guy? He's getting his 2 seconds.
Oh, I've seen many documentaries.
You've seen many gay movies. I'm talking about this Bigfoot thing.
He's talking about Bigfoot everywhere.
Right.
I mean, he believes. Like, he's not just one of those guys that's out there to get the fame and the fortune of it. He literally has the largest collection of Bigfoot prints. He studies them. This guy, if you want to talk to him about Bigfoot prints in particular, but Bigfoot in general, this guy is one of the guys to go to. Not because he wants the fortune and the fame, because he believes that they are out there.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. This summer, we need to do a cast out in the fucking woods. I'm not joking. I'm serious.
All right.
We need to go do this. Do an on-location. And if we see something that we need to run away from, you better hold them mics and the computer while we're running. I'm not lying, dude. That would be fucking awesome.
We'll bring a shopping cart with us and just push the shopping cart. Oh, my God. It's coming to get us. Oh, my God.
Hey, we'd get some ratings, though. Take that shit to the news.
Yeah, no shit, right?
And you know who else? You know who else is already famous, but who is actually getting on the Bigfoot bandwagon big time because he's had encounters that he can't explain? Is Les Stroud from the Survivor Man.
Yes.
He's had two shows done on Bigfoot now because he's had encounters out doing his survival, and he can't explain it. And he's on this new season that's coming up. He's doing more Bigfoot investigations.
I saw one of his just recently, where it was an episode dedicated to just Bigfoot, and he talked about one of his other Survivor Man adventures that he went on, and he was hearing stuff, and they showed him footage of, oh, I heard something, and looking off into that direction, and
that's when he's in Alaska.
Oh, that's that. Okay. And It was really cool because some of the evidence that they were, I forget where they went.
He was with the guy up in Canada. He's a real big Bigfoot hunter.
Yes, and they found these trees that were all, it was like 10 or 12 trees, and they were all just kind of laid down in a certain way, and they were, it was almost like a big dome type that they were kind of making, and how they were lifted off the ground. Like, nobody could have done that unless they purposely went out with like cranes and whatnot and did it.
Right. But the Squatches are incredibly strong, though. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, they have to be, because one of the other things, they have to be, because if you look at what the mythology of them is the fact that they're basically the missing link. And so they are a hybrid of human and apes. Right?
Correct.
So apes...
I don't even know if I put them in the ape category. I think they're a hybrid of human. I don't think the human actually goes back to ape.
What do you mean by that?
But that's... That gets into Loy Pye's theory of where the human genealogy actually came from. And without actually watching it, it's going to sound creepy and weird, but basically he's saying that us as humans are an alien species, but we're only half alien because they used our DNA with the Squatch DNA to come up with us to mine the gold out of the South African mines because their bodies weren't able to put up with the strain of mining.
Okay, so, okay. I want to interject for just a moment that kind of goes along with what you're saying. I've always had a thought, because there is that missing link, and there's always been the suspicion that there's the possibility, because, again, into astronomy, all this stuff that's going on with Mars, we've been able to prove with all the things that we've landed out there that there was water. There was, at some point, the... ability for life. We obviously haven't proved it. Sometimes I wonder if we're not somehow from there and then, you know, mixed with something down here. And you've all heard of Kennewick Man, right?
Yep.
Okay. And see, I'm convinced, and I don't mean this disrespectfully in any way, but I do not believe the Native Americans were the first ones on this land at all. They like to say that we came here and took them over, but I believe they did the exact same thing to who or whatever was here before. And Kennewick Man is older than the Indians claim to be here. So I have to wonder, you know, is Sasquatch now just such an endangered species? Is that why we don't see them very much? And maybe Kennewick Man was part of that. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
No,
yeah, does any of that make sense?
No, it does.
Sorry, I'm ADD and I get rambling way ahead of myself, so sometimes I mess myself up.
What you're saying makes sense, and it's not a theory I've ever heard before, but it's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you couple in the Sasquatch and how they're afraid of us, and you know they see human and they're running basically, or like Mark's story, they see human and they're like, no, you need to get away from me, or I will
exactly.
mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that that's how, like, it all ties together. The mm-hmm. Native Americans nowadays aren't necessarily that way. They like us because that we come to their casinos and spend our money to fund their drinking habit.
Right.
But so they they welcome our presence, but it's not a good ends to the mean. But
no.
neither would be that Sasquatch encounter. Would not be a very good ends
Mm-mm.
to your means.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're out hiking and then all of a sudden fucking Sasquatch, bam, you're gone.
See, and I believe that, you know, the world, I believe in the Pangea. I believe that everything's separated. And believe that the Native Americans came over from Ruska when it was closer and walked down here, the land bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
And because there's so much Bigfoot activity up in this area, that's why, again, I believe that they came in and, in a way, took over. I mean, again, I don't have anything to back this up, but it's a lot of it kind of makes sense. Because you see things like Kennewick Man that are much older than the Native Americans are. So there obviously was something here before that. And who knows? Mm-hmm. Just throwing that out there.
Well, actually, Mount St. Helens, the Native Americans used to say that was a cursed mountain and that there were these big, hairy cannibals that lived up there, and they wouldn't go up there at all.
Yeah, and what did they call them?
It was like, I can't remember what they called them.
God,
but they were like these hairy cannibals, and they used to tell their people, don't even go up it.
Yep, no, you're totally right. I forget, there is a nickname for it, but I can't remember what it is now.
I ain't going to lie, though. If I was in a group of people and there was that one guy with us that was annoying the piss out of us, I'd tell him to go up there. Oh, yeah. Throw his ass in.
I am not going.
Yeah, you are.
No.
There's always one of those guys.
And see, here's something else, too, that I want to bring up. You know, Bigfoot is known differently all over the world. He's known as Yeti. He's known as, Grassman, all these other things. And there's a lot of these different places that have come up with sightings and all this other stuff before we all got together on the subject.
Here.
Sorry.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's just hard for me to believe that it's made up. When all these different places have come up with the same thing before we had the ability to get together to communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And on a side note,
I couldn't agree more.
Bigfoot is real. I watched the movie Billy Madison last week, and all the kids' lunches disappeared from the truck, and that old lady confirmed it's that damn Sasquatch. So it's right there. I mean, proof is in the bag right there.
Sandler proved it for us all.
Yep. I know who stole him. It's
that
damn Sasquatch. So, how can you be wrong? Oh, and I was playing the game Words with Friends. I enjoy that.
Oh,
I played the word Yeti, and it was accepted. Tell me, what other proof is there?
Yeah, but it's also, there is a Yeti cooler, though, so that could be why.
Oh, son of a bitch. You just ruined my whole Wow.
Damn it.
All right. Lame.
Sorry about that.
We're going to keep this guy on or disconnect him. What's going on?
Oh, I'm keeping him on because I haven't heard all of his stories.
Oh, and that's a good
point. I want to hear more of his
stories. I do want to hear more.
I've never heard anybody that's actually had these experiences. I've never known anybody to have these experiences.
Okay.
I really want to hear all your stories that you got. So give us
here comes another one. And this one, my wife was with me, and at the time we weren't married yet, we were still engaged. But we have 5 acres up on the Nooksack River up here in Whatcom County off the North Fork Road. And this was during the summertime.
I love North Fork. Remind me of those stories later.
Yeah. So we were up there Saturday night up there camping. It was just me, her, and the dog, and we were in our tent. And we got, it was about 11:30, 12 o'clock. I ended up leaving the campfire, going to the tent, and going to sleep. About an hour and a half later, all of a sudden, we heard what's referred to in like the DFRO now as the Ohio yell, or Ohio scream, basically. But it's the long, drawn-out Bigfoot yell. And it was right on the other side of the river from where we were at.
Okay.
And it woke both of us up. It put shivers right down the back of your spine. And the dog at the time had Ike. She got right in between the two of us and started shaking like a little baby. And my wife was the same way. She's like, what in the hell was that? And then it did it again. And she was so freaked out, she wanted to pack up everything, get in the car and leave. And I said, well, I got the 338 and the 45 right here. It's obviously on the other side of the river, so let's just calm down for a minute and see if it, you know, if it keeps doing it, we'll get the hell out of here. If it doesn't, then we'll just stay. And it didn't do it anymore for the rest of that night.
But, AKA, honey, if I see it, I'm going to shoot it, and we're going to be millionaires.
Right.
Except for, you know, in the fact that you can't shoot it. Whatcom County has an ordinance or law saying that it is illegal to shoot a Sasquatch.
Really?
That is true.
Yes.
I don't want to interrupt your story here, but I have to ask. You said this was Ohio Scream. Is that what it was called?
An Ohio yeller, and Ohio Scream, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. That's kind of like long, like, oh.
Can I ask, how old are you? An older guy? You are age what?
I'm 43.
Okay. The reason I'm interrupting you, I'm sorry, I know that's rude, but my friends and I used to ride our bikes up at North Fork, okay, right off the river there. We used to camp there. We ran across someone. This would have been, what am I now, 30-something, and I was about 19, 20. So almost 15 years ago. And we were camping, and we ran across a couple, and we started talking about Sasquatch. And someone mentioned the Ohio Scream. That's why I'm asking you, because that would be hilarious if that was you that we were talking to. If you were camping up there, did you ever come across a campsite with a couple of dirt bikers?
I haven't. No, I sure haven't.
Oh, damn it.
Okay, damn it. That would have been so awesome.
Yeah.
I was waiting with bated breath. Sorry. Come on. You could have just said yes, Mark. Yes, that was me.
Yeah, because we used to camp up on the Nooksack there and go riding. Oh, I miss those days. But anyway, I apologize. I had to interrupt you for that. Go ahead.
It's a really good area. Quite frankly,
but you know what?
Great for camping and everything.
Hey, Mark, sorry, real quick. What? I'm going to interrupt you again.
Yeah.
That corroborates
his story. I was just about to say that, because if that wasn't him, that's more than one person.
Exactly.
So
not only described in Ohio Scream.
I was going to say, and the guys that live up along the road all through there and whatnot, they've all heard that before. They don't even think anything of it anymore. So I don't know if that, you know,
well, do you still own that 5 acres?
Yeah, we still got it.
Dude, I feel a camping trip to Roscoe's House of Chips.
I was just telling Cody that. We need to do that this summer. We need to do an on-location.
Oh, that'd be great.
And I'm not being sarcastic. I think that would be badass.
And would you have a problem if, like, we took big sticks and started pounding them on trees and see if we got answers and stuff?
That would be badass.
I'm dead serious here.
No, I think it'd be great, but I think, in all honesty, I don't think doing it right down at the river level would be better. We can drive up into the mountains and get in there pretty thick and then start doing some knocks and some screams and see what comes up, because you're talking like the hub of, like, I want to say their corridor, when they migrate down from Alaska down to California and up and back.
What's the time frame with their migration? Like, how, well, what time can we expect them to be in that area?
I think they're there. I think because of the way that they migrate up and down through there, that the summertime is when they're, you know, that's like the halfway in between point between the two spots, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. I want to say summer's when you're going to get most of sightings, most of vocalization, because it's halfway in between.
Right. I think we should give them an offering. We're going to stick and stone Cody, hang his ass upside down naked.
Cover me in honey.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
You don't want to cover you in scat, because then they'll stay away.
And I'll still be recording. Cody, you will duct tape a microphone to my chest.
Helmet cam.
with a GoPro.
With a GoPro.
We're getting
and
done.
If you scream, Cody will like rename it like the San Francisco Scream because you sound like a bitch instead of like a Bigfoot.
Oh, I was going to ask that earlier. When the sticks were banging, this wasn't around San Francisco, was it? Because that wouldn't be Sasquatch, I'm telling you now. If you heard the sticks banging. But dude, on total side note, I want to strap on a GoPro next time I get laid. Hell yeah.
Like where? On your head or
obviously,
like,
yeah.
On your stomach?
Well, anywhere, shit. Right. Wherever the best view is going to go. I'll talk my wife into it. Anyway, continue.
I think the ass would be funny, actually.
You are so gay.
No. Like, it's pointing out, so it's just, you're just getting those. But
what
it's
the
like,
hell?
You're looking all
you
over
gotta
the room,
see every,
on
no,
how many positions
you gotta
getting.
See. The whole point is strapped on the camera so you can see them titties flopping. All right, continue.
Okay. What if you're fucking a dude? Then there's no titty flopping.
I'm just going to leave
saying.
That alone.
Just saying. Just saying.
Oh, no Jesus. Comment.
Okay. Sorry. We had to degrade ourselves for a minute there.
Emergency, I dropped a peanut.
Oh, God.
God damn it.
So.
Roscoe the squirrel came and visited and just derailed the entire conversation like yes. It normally does.
I like Excitebike.
Yeah, that's okay. It's okay.
No, if you'd be willing to do that, yeah, that would be.
Yeah, realistically,
amazing.
That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we really need to because it's just fun to go out camping and having a good time, but as soon as you put some more Scotch stuff into it, it just makes it even that much more exciting, quite frankly.
Oh, yeah. And
so, yeah, no, we'll definitely have to set up some times and some dates to do that.
I've done one ghost hunt. And I would love to do a Sasquatch hunt, and that
that would just be awesome.
Have you on these 5 acres? Have you had any more experiences than that, or any more up near the Nooksack?
No. That is the other ones that I've got. We're actually a little bit farther south, but I mean, you have to realize where our 5 acres is, and where the tree knocks where I was bear hunting is. You're talking about a 3 mile difference. So there, that area right through there has definitely had some activity. Let's put it that way.
Very nice.
So
now is your property off the Nooksack? Is that what you're saying?
It's right on the river.
Okay. Sorry. I'm ADD. I'll have to repeat questions all the time.
So what's it?
Oh yeah. No. Yeah. It's.
Was it all about the same time of year though?
Yeah. Well, no. Now bear hunting. Well, I guess, I mean, it's all summertime you're talking because. Bear hunting, when I was up there, that was the beginning of August. And when the wife and I were camping, that was middle of July. So, I mean, you're only talking a couple weeks difference.
Yeah, that's not a huge difference at all.
No, not at all. And I'm just looking here at the other times. It's all basically summer to fall time when all these are happening. Let's put it that way. Nothing in the springtime, nothing in the wintertime. But that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen, but I'm just not out in the woods as often during those times either. So,
have you documented all these sightings that you've had, all these experiences, I should say?
Oh, I've gotten them all written down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I always write them down. I've got a little hunting log that I have for wherever I go. I put down, like, some conditions, what I saw, blah, blah, blah. You know, basically it tells me, just keeping a diary of where everything is so I know what to do, and that's exactly where I keep all the Squatch encounters as well. So, okay. They're all documented.
See, and why I say, oh, wow, is because it just goes back to actually knowing somebody that's really believes this stuff, and it excites me.
Oh, and she didn't, but after she heard that scream, because she always thought I was just blowing smoke up her ass, but after she heard that, she's a believer now.
Oh, yeah.
Let's put it that way. And that'll lead into this. Now, let me tell you about the next encounter I had here, and this was the one that was by far the creepiest. Well, I don't know if it's the creepiest, but it was the most adrenaline that's ever pumped out of me. Let's put that way. And this was in 2007. My buddy Matt Killingmark, who I worked with at Barleans Organic Oils, we were going to go to Mazama, which is over by Winthrop, to go deer hunting in 2007. So this was, we were doing archery. So it was in September, second week of September is when this one was.
I've got a story about that area, too. Remind me when you're done.
Okay, nice. So basically, I had a little Toyota two-wheel drive truck, kind of like one I have now, but it was 1980 and it was green, blah, blah,
nice.
Blah. And we packed up, and the game plan that we always do when we go over there hunting is we'd leave my house at about 1 o'clock in the morning because it would get us over there about an hour before daylight coming up. And I didn't want to, I had dogs, so I didn't want to, you know, leave and have them gone too long. So that's why we always leave, drive over there just before daylight, hunt that day, and then come back. Well, we were in between Marble Mount and New Halem. And in between Marble Mount and New Halem, it was about 3:30 in the morning. And nobody, there wasn't a car on the road anywhere to be seen. You know what I mean? When you get on that road that time of night, there's nobody really going back and forth.
No.
And we got in this area, and all of a sudden, we saw it coming, so I had the high beams on the truck, but it came from the driver's side, or would have been the other side of the road. Here comes this rock that's twice the size of a softball, basically. And you can see this thing getting lobbed at my truck from at least 150, 200 yards away. And it looked like a missile projectile, like it was radar locked onto my truck. And we're traveling at, like, you know, 50 miles an hour through that area. Mm-hmm. And it was like it happened in slow motion. All of a sudden, Matt and I both looked, and here comes this rock just heaved at us from, like I say, 100, 150 yards away, and it landed right in the upper left-hand corner of my windshield, totally blew the windshield out and covered us in glass.
Oh, shit.
Slammed on the brakes. We were like, what the frick just happened there? Stopped, kind of like, brushed everything off. It's like, Matt, what the hell? He goes, something just threw that gigantic rock at us. I go, yeah, but I said, what is going to throw a rock as far as that just got thrown? And he just looked at me and goes, I don't know. No human could ever throw a rock like that. And I was like, all right, maybe it came off a ledge or a cliff or something, but it was flat right there. There wasn't a hill there. There wasn't any avalanche or rock slide area that could have caused a rock to somehow get thrown like that. And he goes, it was thrown right at us because we were moving projectile and it was gigantic rock. It's like a person couldn't throw anything like that. I was like, I know.
And I apologize. This was by Mazama?
No, this is in between Marble Mount and New Halem, in between the two.
Okay, so you're getting into the hills then, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And it just blows on. I was looking at that, and I was like, a human couldn't have thrown that. There's no way a human could have thrown that. And it was obviously something at 3 o'clock in the morning didn't like the sound of my truck or the headlights or something coming through there. And we're just like trying to figure this out. At the same time, I'm like, I want to get the fuck out of here because there's something out there that doesn't like us. So we like clean. I mean, we had so much glass we had to get out. And like that rock came almost all the way through the windshield. I had a 2-inch hole actually in the windshield itself.
Damn.
That was just open. And we grabbed the rock. I had the rock for quite a while, but it's been years enough, so I actually lost it. So,
oh, no.
Because one of those things.
I was going to ask, do you still have the rock? Do you have any pictures or anything
I wish I could, or I wish I did, but I don't. I ended up trading that truck for a 4Runner about a month later because I didn't want to spend the money on actually putting a new windshield into it because it was so old, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I wish I would have, but it was just, it was,
You know, and Squatches are known for throwing rocks at people.
Yes, oh, yeah. They are. It's been well documented,
it's just one of the
too.
To do. Mm-hmm.
There, it reminds me of a place that's up. It's a fishing lake in Canada, and I'm forgetting where exactly.
If it's in Canada, it really doesn't matter.
It's true. A boat.
Remember, it's not boot. It's actually boat. Is what it sounds more
a
like.
Boat.
Just saying. Thank
a
you.
Boat. A boat.
If you're gonna make fun of someone,
I
get
wonder
right.
If Canadian. I wonder if Canadian Sasquatches are nicer than American Sasquatches.
They're a little nicer, a little dumber.
Yeah, but they're shitty fucking drivers.
It's a good question.
Why are Canadian drivers so fucking shitty on I-5? They either fucking
because they
drive
get away with more
fast,
shit here than they would over the border. It's more of a pain in the ass for cops to do stuff for them down here than it is up there.
Such a fuck.
That's
anyway.
True. That is true.
Squirrel. No, there's a fishing lake with this one cabin.
There's probably several of those, by the way.
This one particular one that's
okay,
very famous.
Sorry.
With Bigfoot. Fuck you, Dave.
That's right, you will.
That's right. Anyways, that they've gone up to investigate several different times. There was that show Monster Quest on History
Monster
Channel.
Quest, yeah.
And
yep.
I don't recall that.
Oh, it was a great show until it got a little...
Cody, you're gay. Continue.
Too crazy. The owner had gone to the fishing cabinet, or cabin. It's a fishing cabinet. It's really tiny. It's just on the side of the lake.
Squirrel.
Yes. It's a fishing cabin. And it had been destroyed. But they didn't suspect a bear, mainly because of the way it was destroyed. Like, the main point was the fact that the fridge, that it hadn't, the insulation hadn't been torn into.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually the bears will go after the insulation into the fridge. For whatever reason, it's something that they like to eat. I forget exactly why, but they'll always tear into it to get to the insulation in a fridge. But
weird.
So he took this video for insurance purposes, and you could see all the damage and how badly it had been messed up. And so he took this board and he put a bunch of screws through it. So that when he laid it flat, all these screws would be sticking up for when he was gone for off-season.
Mm-hmm.
He put it in front of the door. Anything step on it, ouch, get hit by the screws, and would leave. Well, he comes back for the fishing season, and he finds that something had stepped on this board of screws. And they took an outline of it, and it was as big as a Bigfoot. I should say Sasquatch foot. It was as big as a Sasquatch foot.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to actually take some DNA, some blood off of it. But because it had been sitting out for so long, the DNA degraded, and they didn't get a good, clear answer on what animal could have made it. But the fact that the outline of where all of it was a Sasquatch footprint, basically. And the fact that the video showed damage that didn't really go with a bear getting into the cabin damage. And when they were out there actually investigating, they were getting rocks thrown at them. And they
That's
were able
right.
to catch it on
they
video.
Were, okay. That's right.
Do you know what place I'm talking about, Mark?
No, I've seen that one, actually, and I forgot about them actually filming, but that's right, they were filming and they were having rocks thrown at them. You mentioned that, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good episode. They
went there twice, I think, and I think both times they had rocks thrown at them.
Yep, no, I think you're absolutely right. That's kind of a really good squashing place right there.
I just wish I could remember where in Canada. So, I think they're not very... I guess they would be nicer... Sasquatch, if they're in Canada, because they're just throwing rocks at you. They're not actually chasing you or, you know.
They're not shooting you.
Yelling at you. Yeah.
That's true.
No.
That's true.
Previously, I was asking you about the Mazama thing. My old man and his friends have a hunting cabin just outside of Twisp, if we all know where that is.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
And it's really cool because it's an old cabin. It's been there a long time. There's no electricity, no running water. And they're able to still get away with it because it's grandfathered in. Because if something were to happen to that property and they rebuilt, they wouldn't be able to build because it's right on a creek and it's right next to the road. The property's too small. But it's grandfathered in. And it's just so cool because, and just to kind of brag about the cabin, because there's five friends that all own it. And it's not for any monetary gain. If anyone's going to leave, they buy each other out for a dollar. I mean, really, it is. It's their home away from home. Okay. And what's cool is it's right off of Beaver Creek. I don't know if anyone knows where that is. Okay. Anyway, they have a hot tub there. Okay, this cabin is owned by a group of construction guys. So they have a really cool cabin that they put a hot tub in. They siphon creek from the water and heat it with an old wood stove. Okay,
that's
badass.
That's awesome.
But the cool part
that's
is
so awesome.
The only thing you hear at night is the running water from the creek. Again, there's no, I mean, they have a generator hooked up. So if they want electricity, they do that. Otherwise, it is still very much just an old school, true-to-life hunting cabin. I ain't going to lie. There's been a couple times that I've been up there. That's not a bear that I heard. That's not a cougar that I heard. But I haven't seen other proof to show that it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know. I have a hard time buying that it was. Actually, I don't even know if they have bear in that area. Yeah, I'm sure they do.
No, there is. Yep.
Yeah. But no, just an awesome place.
I don't know it seems if you want to call it sixth sense or not, but there's just something when you're out in the woods that you get that feeling and you know that it isn't something normal.
Oh yeah,
it's
for
something
sure.
In the back of your head just tells you like this is not right and I need to get the hell out of here.
See, and I wouldn't even call it a sixth sense because I don't know your religious beliefs or anything like that, so I don't want to offend anybody, but we're animals 100%. We aren't able to utilize all of our animal instincts because of what we have done to our daily lives in these housing communities, these cities that we bought. And when we get out,
our minds
exactly. When we get out in the country, in the wild, some of that animal comes back. And that's where I think that sixth sense comes back in is, you know, there's shit out there. And I think it freaks some people out because they're not used to that. Some of us that know
well,
that's
really funny that you mentioned that sense that you're talking about, Mark and Dave, because that's a lot. If you want to go back and listen to last week's, and I recommend anybody does, because my mother is really, really, really into paranormal stuff. That's kind of what my mother talks about is when she starts to feel these spirits or ghosts or whatever, she talks about how something is not normal. And that you feel this shiver that you wouldn't normally feel.
Changes the vibe of the atmosphere. The atmosphere itself. You feel it change. You hear it change. Your skin gets goosebumps.
Cody looks at you when he gets hard and
you get a boner.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean it's weird, right?
Well, right. What she said was that it's probably similar to what Mark is talking about.
Oh yeah.
You know, because we as humans, like Dave was saying, are just animals. Mm-hmm. That's all we are, and we have those instincts to when something isn't right. And you know, a Sasquatch or a ghost or something like that is not normal for us to be able to feel. We can feel each other's presence. We can feel other animals. We can feel other things, but that's just, it's not normal for us and it's foreign. So instantaneously something tells us that something's going on.
It goes back to work and how many people at our job, while they're out working on the pad, have said it felt like somebody was there. Somebody was staring at us. I can't even think of how many people have said that.
There's only one person that laughs at the guys for saying that, and he's never out on the pad.
I say that's always the guy that will, because he's not out there to experience it.
Yeah.
Right, right. And because I can't wait to hear the stories that come in from you know, since things have changed a little bit. I can't wait to hear any other experiences or different things, because it's going to happen.
It will.
Because you're going to have guys that were always on day crews now being on night crew, and they're going to be out there and experience that.
And that's totally. I actually had a conversation with the crew in particular that you're talking about, and they said that they hadn't yet, and I'm pretty sure I know who you're talking about, and he kind of did laugh it off, but I told him of the experience that I had sitting in there when something walked up the stairs and went into the locker room, and I don't know how much he believed me, but I told him straight up, when it happens, you're going to know that it happened, and you're not going to have any way to explain it other than that it is paranormal.
Is this a similar feeling to when you're driving home and you just know you're going to open that door and your wife is pissed off about something?
Yeah. You okay. Get that vibe. Yeah.
Nice.
No, it's that instinct. It's that sense. It's whatever it is. It is almost like a sixth sense, and I hate calling it that because everybody calls that. It's ESP, your sixth sense. It's you're a psychic, you're a medium. It's not that. It's just that we are so used to the way that things are. They have to be a certain way. Even when you're so familiar, like Mark being out in the woods, he knows what it feels like to be out in the woods and by yourself or by himself with a dog. And then all of a sudden, you can feel that the whole vibe has changed. And you know it's not normal.
Well, I would actually say that it actually is more human. Like, I actually think
I agree.
That we are so used to, in this technical world, in this thing that we've created, that we are so used to being not human. That those experiences take us back to what it's like to be human. Because only then can you start to know your mortality, and you start to question things. Like it's that piece inside of you that archaic thing inside of you that tells you these things. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great. Totally. And it's just like when you go hunting. I don't know if any of you two have gone hunting, and when you're out there and you can sense that there are deer around, you can sense these things. You've got to tap into something in yourself. And as a predator, you've got to tap into that predator, and you can sense when things are going your way. And you don't want to get too excited, because if you do, it'll scare the deer off.
Well, see, because they can sense you too.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So you have to harness it just right. Yeah. No, totally.
You know, it kind of goes back to actually what Wade, your mom was talking about, is there's a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that. I absolutely agree with your mom. It's what is that connection? And I think that's where religion falls into it. Everybody wants to put it up to a higher power, up to something else that they don't control, when really it doesn't need to be brought up to a higher power, because that's just the way it is. Does that make sense? The world is. There is this connection.
We are an animal that is weak physically but strong mentally. Therefore, yes, almost any predator on this earth can destroy us in a matter of a minute. And if you ever go out into the wilderness and you see a cougar, you realize that son of a bitch is stalking you, and he will eat you. And he has no qualms about it.
Instantly.
But that's why I don't like cats, is because I've seen cougars, and cougars, they don't like, they will kill you. And the thing is, go for it, Mark.
Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I was going to say, my regular house cat, when he scratches me with his claws, it hurts. Imagine the size of a cougar, you know?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, and with that power behind it, that sheer muscle. But see, that's what I'm talking about. So we are both predator and prey, so we have both instincts, and we're a rare animal that has that. there may not really be very many animals on this earth that have that same instinct. And so when we go out in the wilderness, we can sense deer, we can sense bear, we can sense cougar, and it goes right back to what Mark was saying. We can also sense these things that we can't explain because we are both predator and prey. And that instinct, and my mom equates it to that too. She says, you know, when you run into something unnatural, you don't know if you're being hunted or if you're the hunter. Mm-hmm. And that's it almost confuses that instinct.
Well, it reminds me of a thing that I heard listening to one of my other podcasts. Was it's human instinct, and most people will not acknowledge this, but I believe it's true. When you first see something, animal, whatever, before you even realize it, your mind has already thought three things. One, can I eat it? Can I sleep with it? Or is it going to kill me? I mean, seriously, your mind goes through it that quick. And that's part of being predator and prey. No, it goes back to, you know, there are those of us who do have open minds because we still understand that we are animal. Mm-hmm. And so we're able to allow these experiences and these things that we feel to, we're able to acknowledge that. Where there's a lot of people that are just too involved in city life, and they've just gone to, gone so far beyond that immediately when that presence is there, their mind has already told them, nope, it's not true. If it's not on TV, then it's not true.
Yeah.
And I think that's why some people experience that stuff and some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
They've trained their mind.
And you can even take it to the next step, too, where it's like, you know, if it is, it totally changes history. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a whole sect of people that are going to be like, well, we can't upset this apple cart with some new facts, so we've got to dismiss it, because otherwise everything is, there's such a change that would be in the air that it'd be too great for people to understand almost.
Exactly.
I love how you said that. You know, the non-acceptance based on changing belief. So really, that's what it is. I think belief itself has overshadowed our instinct for these things. When we start believing stuff, we start making preconceived notions. And when we start making preconceived notions, we start saying, it can't be true. That is always where the human mind goes to. It cannot be true. And what's great is people like you, Mark, who say, well, wait a second. I want to explore these emotions because of what I felt was real, what I heard was real, and what I experienced was real. And rather than dismissing it, you wanna know what it is. And you ask the questions instead of seeking the answers.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Yeah. There's something that's kinda cool and freaky about it all at the same time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
No, definitely. And I'm glad you said that, because that's kinda why I like it. Like, it's not, whether it be crop circles, aliens, ghosts, Bigfoot.
You actually getting laid.
Yeah, exactly. That's that's a mystery all in itself.
I think we have a better chance of seeing Bigfoot than Cody getting laid.
Agreed, 100%.
I'm going to get that GoPro camera and prove you all wrong, motherfuckers, okay?
Yeah, do you need me to witness the signing of your divorce papers, too?
Yes, please. No, it's just all this stuff is intriguing, and wanting to know the answers and asking the questions. That's why every night I'll flip on Netflix and find something that is asking the questions, that something might have the answers to. And like, I love the conspiracy stuff. I love the paranormal stuff because of that, because it always asks the question. Because once you stop asking questions, that's when you think you know everything, and then you're the most narcissistic asshole in this world, and we have too many fucking narcissistic assholes in this world. Because they all think they know
everything. Including me.
Do what? What was that, Wade?
Mm-hmm. Including me. I know it all.
Yes, me.
I know it all. I just forget it most of the time.
Do what? Yeah, nobody gets that joke except us, Wade. Me only knows that joke.
Mark might get it by proxy.
I'm on to it now.
Okay. Me.
A tribute to it.
Me is the best, okay? That's all you need to know. If there weren't a couple of me running around, I wouldn't feel comfortable at night falling asleep.
If this table wasn't here, I'd kick you in the balls right now.
You kicked me in the balls?
Because yes. They had me.
My balls are made of steel, me. No,
wait, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What?
Did you get the text I just sent you, the picture?
Who are you talking to?
Yes, it did. I didn't know it was you that sent it to me. Let me
open that up and look at it real quick, because that kind of ties into the next thing that happened to me just this last year at Elk Camp.
Holy shit!
You see that footprint? I just sent him a footprint print, so I couldn't see it to yours, Cody, because I don't have your number. But that was a Squatch print that I came across.
Wait, send it to me.
Down in Delray, Elk Hunt.
It is being sent.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That was that was a Squatch print. That was that was probably 3.5 miles back in. Up on a ridge that I was hiking. So it's not like there's some imposter up there with a fake footprint of a Squatch going like, oh, I'm going to fool somebody up here. So there's one more for you.
Nice. Sorry, I'm waiting to see it myself. No, I haven't got it yet.
Oh, I got you.
It's on its way.
Post it to Roscoe's.
Yes, that was my next question is, do you mind if we posted on our Facebook page and our podcast page?
Oh, no,
page?
Go ahead. And I actually, I'm super duper pissed because I had a picture of something else on the next story that I was trying to find on my wife's computer that was supposed to be there that's not there anymore that I couldn't find. But and it was on my old iPhone, but I ran it over with a forklift, so it's not going to do me any good. But have you ever seen the monsters in this Monster Quest where they're up in Alaska and they're talking to the Indian tribe and they come across the upside down trees that are pounded into the ground?
Yes. Yes.
So you know what I'm talking
yes,
about.
Yes, I know
right?
exactly.
Never
what
heard
you're
of it
about.
When I was, this was in 2011 when I was elk hunting down in the South. This was in the Bear River unit, actually. I was hiking, looking for elk, obviously. And came across a set of three trees that were a foot in diameter, 12 to 15 feet tall, pounded into the ground, upside down with the root balls hanging off the top of them. And God, once again, you get that feeling like something's watching you or something doesn't want you to go into this area where it's at, saying, like, this is my area, stay the hell out of it. And you can zoom in on the picture and people are like, oh, it was a feller buncher, you know, one of the wire pieces of equipment, stuffed him in upside down. I'd be like, no, this wasn't a feller buncher, because I went up to these trees and was looking and they were pristine. There wasn't a mark on them from a piece of machinery, but something was big enough and strong enough to take these trees and pound them into the ground upside down. So, and that's when I took a picture of them and I got the hell out of there.
Snap, go. I just got the picture from Wade, and that is fucking cool.
That's an awesome pic.
Yeah, that is amazing. I love how you can see, like, it's weird. It's different than the other ones that, like, I've seen, because it's got the elongated mm-hmm. toes. Because
the elongated toes, exactly.
Give us an estimate on how big you think that was.
Oh, well, I put my foot up to it, mm-hmm. and I got a 10.5, and it was a good 6 inches longer than my foot. So I'm guessing around that 16 to 17 inches long, basically.
Oh, wow.
Right around there. Width, it was twice as wide as my foot.
Wow.
So it was, yeah, it's a big print. It's a big damn print, as a matter of fact. Oh.
Now, were there?
But you know, you can tell it's an older print, just by the you know, the dirt and whatnot. You can tell it's not super duper fresh or anything like that. So I'm guessing, you know, probably a week and a half old, something like that.
Yeah. Now, were there other ones in the area, or was this the only one that you saw?
There was this one. There was one more track as where that one is. It was right before a log, and he was stepping over it like a, well, not a log, a 6-inch, 8-inch sapling tree that was bent down. And you could see him step on the other side of it, mm-hmm. but that print you couldn't make out as well. So that's why I took a picture of the good print.
Well, thanks for sharing this stuff, man. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, would you believe that we've already been recording for about an hour and 15 minutes now?
Oh, I believe it.
Now, again, I like
supposed to say no to that question there, Mark.
I like to play devil's advocate. Is that a Bigfoot print or a print from Rosie O'Donnell?
No, it was Oprah.
It's not that fat.
Oh, Oprah. Right. Okay, got it.
Or Oprah. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I love my own jokes. Yes.
And then I was going to say, you know, I know we're kind of getting into it here, but the other thing that's weird, too, is... And now this is kind of a third-hand story, but Chase, who elk hunts with us down in the Sal, this was about 5 or 6 years ago now. I remember he's such a straight-laced kind of, you don't want to say douchebag, because he might listen to this pod someday, so I don't want to say that. But he's a very straight fellow, let's put it that way. He doesn't believe
anything paranormal. Well, hey, if you share it with him, he might listen to it because you're on it. Just saying.
That's true. But he hates to tell the story, but he one morning was out elk hunting and came back, and he's just weird out, and his head was like not there. It's like, what the hell's wrong? You know, it's like, I can't explain. I don't understand. He's like, maybe I haven't had enough sleep. It just doesn't make any sense. Well, what does make any sense, Chase? Well, I was sitting by this tree watching, waiting for elk, and I heard something, and about 30 yards away behind another big tree, he goes, all of a sudden, a little monkey was behind it. Like, what do you mean, little monkey? He goes, well, it was like 4.5, 5 feet tall, and it looked like a monkey, and it was playing peekaboo with me. I'd look at it, and it'd shake its head back in, and it'd go to the other side of the tree and look at me.
Dude,
and
I'm getting goosebumps right now. Holy fuck.
Yeah, and so this thing is playing peekaboo with him, and we go, well, what the hell, what, Chase? He goes, I don't know, it just looked like a little ape. And I go, I was just joking, I go, it sounds like a baby squatch to me. And he just kind of stopped and shut up. And I'm like, do you think? He goes, I don't know. He goes, I don't know. He goes, I don't believe in that kind of thing, so I can't say anything. Goes, well, what'd you do? He goes, after about 5 minutes of playing peekaboo with this thing, he goes, I just turned around, sat back on the other side of the tree, and just waited for it to go away because I didn't want to believe there's anything back there.
Oh, my God. Dude, I literally have goosebumps right now. Like, that's fucking awesome. I don't know why, but though it being a third-hand story, like, mm-hmm. I totally believe it.
Yeah, well, trust me, coming from Chase, I mean, like I said, he is the most straight-laced, doesn't believe in that kind of thing. I mean, I'd love to actually have him tell you guys the story of it because, I mean, he obviously tells it so much better than what I'm telling him. But he was freaked out by it, totally freaked out by it.
So I got to share this one. I was just reminded. I used to live for a couple of years out in North Idaho, and kind of a friend of a friend kind of thing, but... He had, I don't remember if it was a brother or cousin, but went up into the woods hunting kind of thing. And he always liked to go off by himself from what I was told. One of those things where never came back. They did searches, and they found his truck. No sign of him, but within, I think, a half mile, quarter mile, they did find what they believe were Bigfoot, Sasquatch footprints. They were huge.
Oh, okay.
They weren't, you know, but from what I understand, it's been well over 5 years. There is still no trace of him anywhere, but they found those prints they found those prints where they suspect he probably was hunting. There's no proof that he was there, but they think that he was probably in the area. That is all they found. Mm-hmm. There's still not one single trace of him anywhere.
So
from what I understand.
No shit.
That's not the only story of a Sasquatch kidnapping that is out there.
You're correct.
I know there's others.
There's one that dates back to the Revolutionary War. Am I right on that one, Mark?
Is that the Canadian guy?
I can't remember.
There's a guy in British Columbia who was a logger who was abducted by a Bigfoot, I want to say back in the 1940s. And he's got an interview on the internet that he talks about it. But there's a lot of old stories from back in the day of weird things that have happened.
And so, you know, that's the thing. I want to kind of start wrapping it up here, but that makes it the most believable for me is the fact that these stories have been told for centuries. We're not talking decades. Mm-hmm. We're not talking when the first Bigfoot prints were found in, where were they found? California?
Yeah, California.
On that logging site, you know.
Yeah.
We're talking centuries of these stories from all across
the world. Well, yeah, and not only that, it was
the world.
Yep. Yeah.
Right, but it not only that, it crossed races. Like we saw them as white people before we even could communicate with the Native Americans, and when we started communicating with the Native Americans, they started asking us if we saw them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. You're totally right.
You know what is also interesting.
So it was. That's what it was all about. Is it would be completely different. And for me, if like only one group of people had seen these things, mm-hmm. but it was always. You know, we came here to America. We are foreign to this land, and the first thing they asked us is, "Don't go over there because that's where the big beast lives." And we're like, "Wait, we saw one of those." And you know, it's great. I love this kind mm-hmm. of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's, you know, I was going to bring up something else. Sorry to interrupt you. Is when you get out in those podunk hick towns, if you will, you've got your certain kinds that'll do anything they can to get any kind of attention. But a lot of these stories come from the old guy that wants nothing to do with the media. Mm-hmm. He has no desire mm-hmm. to get famous. He has no desire to do anything. In fact, he doesn't even like telling the story because he doesn't want attention. Mm-hmm. That's where I can get more believable. Voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if it's the teenage kid,
that's
yeah, no, I'm not going to buy it. But when it's that old guy that hates to be bothered by anyone, I'm going to I'll go more towards him. Yeah.
Mark's story about his buddy gives me goosebumps. I mean, because we all know those people. They're the straight-laced, don't believe in it. But when they tell mm-hmm. that story, you know they're speaking the truth. That's the truth mm-hmm. as they
well,
know it.
Well, it's a lot like my mother, too. It's a lot like my mother, too. She doesn't, and I didn't mention this last week on the podcast, but to get my mother to talk about what she talked about last week on the podcast, everybody in the family tries, but it's hard to get her to talk about it. And, you know, it was really it's quite a feat getting her on the show like we had, because mm-hmm. she does not like to talk about the things that she was talking about. And she doesn't like the experiences, and she doesn't, you know, like to open up the veil, I guess you can say. But mm-hmm. and she's not doing it for attention, but she did it for me because I was her son. But, you know, that's what we're talking about. Is those type of people who don't want the attention from it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Well, they have, you know, it's like same thing. It's like even before coming out to do this, I was a little apprehensive. So like, oh, you know, God, everybody's going to think I'm a quack. And it's like, you know, I don't have anything to gain or want anything to gain from this. But, you know,
I think you're that just because you associate with these guys.
Would be like to hear.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because Wade's mom said the exact same thing. And
really?
Yeah. She was like, you know, I wanted to do it, but you guys I was able to share these stories with you because I was able to have this connection with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, she's happy that she did it, as we heard earlier. And I think that's the thing that we do the best on this podcast is
yeah.
you're able to come in here and pretty much talk about anything, because like I said, we're very non-judgmental. I mean, unless you really are for rape,
you're an asshole.
You know, we're not going to judge you in a way that
right.
is demeaning to you. Mm-hmm. You know, we could have mm-hmm. the craziest crackpot conspiracy theorist on here, someone who doesn't believe mm-hmm. that we've been to the moon, and we would have a discussion about it. We wouldn't right. sit here mm-hmm. and tell them, oh, well, no, you're wrong. Mm. But, well, we would for that person because there's actual evidence for it. But like Ancient Aliens or Loch Ness Monster or whatever, you can run the gambit of it because there's evidence for everything.
Right.
Except for us landing mm-hmm. on the moon, because we did. and that's the thing that I really think that we do well on here is to be able to create an environment where people feel comfortable to talk about these things.
But I have to interject for just one quick second, though. That's funny about this show is normally I'm the quiet one, but I feel I've been rambling and Wade's been the quiet one today. I just got to throw that one out.
Yes.
So continue.
Well, no, I'm quiet because I really... Well, that and my mom rubbed off on me. I'm just going to shut up.
Shut up, Wade.
But really, what it is I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by these stories, mm-hmm. and I love it when I hear things that I can tell that person truly believes it. And mm-hmm. again, I'm a fan of this show. And what I believe the charm of this show is that we entertain all thoughts. Even if we don't believe in something, we entertain mm-hmm. the thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. You know, I mean, if you don't have an open mind and you have a shut mind, well, then what are you going to be able to learn, you know, honestly?
Exactly.
Nothing.
Exactly. Very true.
Yep.
And that's like, I believe in Bigfoot. I want to know he's out there, but God damn it, I want to see the proof.
You want his head on a stick.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to let you guys go. You guys can continue talking and stuff.
No,
I'll let you go, Cody.
I was about to say,
that's all right, buddy. You'll be running through my mind all night.
That's right. All fat and naked. I wanted to say thank you, Wade. Thanks a lot, Mark. For
good having you on. Good meeting you.
Do what?
Said it was good having him on. Good meeting him.
Oh, yes.
But we do need to talk about this camping thing, though. If we're all serious, we need to do something.
We will do this camping thing.
I'd like to, and then they give us a kind of a follow-up, too. Definitely.
Absolutely.
No, anytime, happy to come on. So,
definitely.
Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you again. And hopefully, did we get all your stories? Because I feel like you had a couple that we didn't get.
We'll have them on again.
Yep, nope. Nope, we got everything on mine. I've got some third-hand stuff that from some other guys at Elk Camp and whatnot that we can discuss later on.
All right, we'll save that for the follow-up when we're camping, when we're actually out in the woods. We can say, look, this happened to this guy.
There you go.
And just freak each other out.
There you go.
So
that's always that's the funnest time, right?
Exactly. You get a little few Chardonnays in you, as Dave likes
Absolutely,
to say.
Absolutely, a few Chardonnays.
And freak each other out, and we end up pissing each other. I mean, pissing ourselves.
Perfect.
Not each other. Sorry, I've had a few Chardonnays myself today.
Yes, me as well.
Again, thank you, and we will
talk to you
later.
By the way,
yes,
sounds good.
Did you start that?
Right. Night, you guys.
All right,
good night. All right. So, hitting.
What?
Stop.
Stop right now.
I'm Batman.